When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Gather round, here's what I know. It's just that this cow has got to go. I know some people kinda like it, yeah, it's trending right now.
Yeah,
that doesn't matter, cause we're gutting the sacred cow.
When I get off the phone here, call up Hyman and tell him I want wall-to-wall John Daniels. Don't you mean Jack Daniels? He may be Jack to you, son, but will you know him as long as I have? Well, that's a joke. Oh, special guest gutter, Kevin Israel, my pal.
I forgot about this part of the show already. And I was actually just enjoying this little monologue. And then I was like, ah, shit. I got to know what that quote's from.
God, yeah. I don't fucking know.
And I have no idea. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's a movie I haven't seen.
I think you have. Schultz, Bill Schultz, formerly of The Morning Show.
I know this quote.
Currently of skin cancer. Bill Schultz, everybody.
Currently, yeah. I'm living with it, not dying from it. Can't have a
say. Bill Melanoma Schultz.
Yes.
Mully Russell's wart.
You can't see it, but I'm wearing a brown ribbon to create awareness. I'm gonna say I know it's Ron, but Spinal Tap.
Wrong. I'm gonna tell you this because I was gonna choose another one from the same film. I was gonna say hint. Oh, yeah. If I give you a hint, it's too easy.
I know it.
I was gonna give her a quote. When in doubt, fuck. You, oh, Schultz, you reacted like you know what it is.
That sounded like almost like Fight Club, but
no,
not that.
No.
The answer is Scent of a Woman.
Never saw it.
Scent of a Woman?
No, all I know is hoo-ha.
That's the official Al going from, oh, you know, I'm going to come and get Fredo. I love you. That's high-pitched Fredo. High-pitched Pacino. Now we're in act two of Pacino's life. Yeah. Got to set a flamethrower this place.
Pacino.
You can make an argument that Pacino entered cartoon land with Scarface, but it really happened with Scent of a Woman, I think.
Oh, the voice went fourth gear all the way.
Yeah.
Wait.
Kevin Goatee, Bill Schultz, Kevin Israel, we are back. And this time, this is a fan favorite moment, is when one of us sit in the gutter's chair. And I had my jaw and pants drop when Kevin Israel said, I've made my choice of film that I want to gut. He chose the absolute 2008 beloved financial juggernaut. And the reason we're stuck with 75 Marvel films a year, Iron Man. Budget in 2008 of $145 million, a box office haul of $585.8 million. Turn that into 2024 money. $210.3 million budget, $848.6 gross.
Wow. Wow.
If they decided to put The Incredible Hulk first, this all may not have happened.
They did. Oh, no, that's right. The Incredible Hulk was after it. That's right.
Well, the Ang Lee version was first, and then the one with Norton.
That's right, because in the post-credit scene of Incredible Hulk, Tony Stark shows up.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
With Thunderbird Ross, right.
Weirdly already recruiting for Avengers, which then you find out he isn't even really a part.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's a great point.
Doesn't add up. IMDb, boys, you know it. You love it. 1 to 10 decimal points. We're going to go to our gutter. That's right. Kevin Israel, what do you think IMDb has for Iron Man?
9-1.
Bill Schultz.
9-2.
Yes.
7-9. Kevin Israel.
Wow.
Surprise me as well. Bill Schultz, Rotten Tomatoes, critics 1 through 100. You know the drill. This is probably your 8th appearance or thereabouts on the Sam Show. What do you think the critics gave Iron Man? 1 through 100.
80.
Kevin Israel.
87.
94.
See, we were burned by the first, much like Bill is. We were burned by IMDb.
I'm sensing a theme throughout the rest of this, guys. Again.
Well, because you're getting redder as we proceed.
I mean, I only got back 2 days ago. I'm still recovering. This is the only shirt that doesn't hurt.
Funny how Bill decided to get burned in Palm Springs. He could have came through the Yanks White Sox game and got burned there again.
You're making fun of a Triple A team. You're making fun of a Triple A team.
When did they get promoted to Triple A?
Oh, boy.
I'm not done. Audience score back to Kevin Israel. Iron Man audience 1 through 100. Let's see if you redeem yourself.
96.
Bill Schultz.
90.
91. Bill Schultz, showcases.
Well done. Well done, Bill.
Not bad at all.
Awareness.
Finally quotes, won something.
Quotes next time, baby. Where Rhodes looks like a war machine suit. This one, I laughed out loud. You've been called the Da Vinci of our time. What do you say to that? Absolutely ridiculous. I don't paint.
That's a good one.
And of course, I know it's going to be on one of your tips of your tongues. I am Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Obviously. Kevin Israel, what do you have for quotes?
So there's one that I actually say parts of pretty often. Some say the best weapon is the one you never have to fire. I say it's the one you only have to fire once. That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it. And it's worked out pretty well so far.
That's a good one. When do you say that? In what regards? When you're having sex?
It's, you know what? It's really a kind of a pocket knife, Swiss and Army knife type quote that works almost anywhere.
I like that.
And the other quote I have that I have said before, Tony Stark was able to build this in a cave with a box of scraps.
Flambe Bill Schultz, what do you have?
With all due respect, we're not Tony Stark. And it really just showed what a genius he was. Well, to the I am Iron Man point, and I don't even know if you count this as a quote because I don't believe it was ever uttered. It was just said on his original heart. Proof that Tony Stark has a heart. Right. And much like I am Iron Man, amazingly bookended with the final Avengers movie for now, where his final line is, I am Iron Man to Thanos. And then in his funeral, he's indeed buried with Pepper's proof that Tony has a heart thing. I thought that was very cool. I love the fact that they planned as far ahead as they did with that. Let's see. What was another one? I had next time. God damn it. I'll leave it at that. Well, there was one other one.
Doesn't he say next time, baby?
Yeah, that's what I said. Next time.
Oh, you did. Oh, okay.
Yeah, maybe it's that. Okay. And then the only one I had, you guys used all the ones I had, but I do like, and this doesn't count because it's the beginning of Iron Man 2, but he's like, you guys, I have finally privatized world peace. And then does one of these. And
that's
it was leading up to that, but you guys took all of them.
There weren't many to take. This is not a very quotable.
It's not a quotable. No, I'll think of something. Obadiah had some ones that weren't supposed to be good, but were, but it'll come to me.
5 fun facts. Only this is conflicting, but okay, I copy and paste. You know that only one other name that Jon Favreau considered for Tony Stark was I'm not gonna let you guess this because there's more later on. Sam Rockwell. Obviously, he did not get the part for this, but he played Justin Hammer in Iron Man 2. Meanwhile, Don Cheadle was considered for Rhodes, but Terrence Howard got the part. But Howard was replaced before Iron Man 2. Because of financial constraints, because Robert Downey Jr., according to him, took all the money, which is ironic because Howard vouched for Terrence Howard. Now, this is why I said this is conflicting. Lots of other actors were considered for the Iron Man role. 1, 2, 3 names. One is an A-plus megastar. One was an A-list megastar. One in the 80s was a megastar. Let's hear them, boys. Shoot.
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise is one.
That's
Kind of hard for Tom Cruise to run in that suit when he already has jet propulsion in his back, right?
He runs as if he has jet propulsion coming out of his ass. Right. He is a runner and likes to show it. Okay. The other one that I would say that's okay, now no longer as big of a star. Well, then would that be Nicolas Cage?
That would be Nicolas Cage.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm surprised.
Did you research this?
He's having a Cage-a-sance.
Now he is.
That was a guess. Yeah.
Kevin Bacon?
For number three, no.
No?
80s star. You could say that,
Not action star in the 80s?
No.
Rob Lowe?
Rob Lowe? Are you kidding me?
I swear to God, I didn't know that.
Bill's cheating. Bill's cheating.
No. There's cheating going
test
on.
Test that man.
Yeah.
Test
I know. Man. I pride myself on my research, but I'm like, I'm not the one gutting now, so I don't have to work as hard.
God. There's no way. I was going to say, you know what?
I'm so happy. I never get back.
Listen. I'm so glad they didn't choose Rob Lowe.
By the way, just really brief side note. The whiny... what's his name? Weekend at Bernie's and in all of the
Andrew McCarthy.
He is hosting a Brat Pack thing on Hulu, gets them all back together again. They all hate each other. It's coming out in like 2 weeks. I'm watching the hell out of it. Yeah. Series, he goes from one to the other, says he has a crush on Ali Sheedy, even though we all know he was really gay. The whole thing. It's gonna be really good. It's gonna be good.
Well, the rumor mill is very hot, saying that at some point, whether it's in Deadpool and Wolverine or Secret Wars, that Tom Cruise will make an appearance as a variant of Tony Stark.
I love that. I don't
which
see
would be an awesome.
Wouldn't it be? Oh. Universal Studios that actually purchased the rights to the character back in April of 1990. Century Fox acquired the rights in the late 90s, although several screenplays were written. No film was made. New Line Cinema bought the rights but couldn't get a film put together and eventually returned them to Marvel. After 17 long years of production, eventually released the film that made the Marvel Cinematic Universe possible. Number three in my, well, I'll have to beat this too, in the fuck nerds and concentrate on making eye contact with people category. Anyone who's watched the films or read the comics know that Tony Stark is incredibly wealthy, but how does he rank among the fictional billionaires? In 2013, Forbes magazine answered that question by releasing their fictional 15, which listed the 15 richest fictional characters. They estimated that Stark was worth $12.4 billion, which was fourth overall behind Carlisle Cullen, Smaug, and Scrooge McDuck. He did claim the title as the wealthiest superhero, however, with over $3 billion more than Bruce Wayne.
I was about to ask what Bruce was in this. By the way, how do we quantify this?
Yeah, this is dumb.
Like, they had a real estate agent talk about how much the Batcave cost?
Yeah.
Like, what are we talking here?
And also, Lex Luthor has to be up there.
Yeah. Right.
They couldn't Zillow Wayne Manor.
Here's what you know, Lex
Charles Luthor. Xavier has an entire school. He's got to have some bucks.
Yeah. And by the way,
billions, though. Billions with a D. I don't know about that.
Lex Luthor's got
you know how many of those jets he builds?
They crash a lot, especially watch X-Men 97. Yeah. In an interview with the New York Daily News, Downey said he was once driving into a car with, quote, tons of dope and decided to stop off for a burger. He pulled into a Burger King and had an epiphany. As he explained to the Daily News, it was such a disgusting burger I ordered. I had that and this big soda, and I thought something really bad was going to happen. Calling in a moment of clarity, Downey tossed all of his substances in the ocean, decided to get sober. Having an American cheeseburger from Burger King and Iron Man was his way of saying thanks to the restaurant that saved his life.
That's a backhanded compliment if I ever heard one.
Right.
Thanks for sucking, guys. You saved my life.
Thanks for the diarrhea. You saved me.
Burger King or White Castle? I'm going Burger King because of the onion rings.
Burger King every time.
Yeah. Number five,
White Castle. Yeah.
John Favreau's original plan was to use the Mandarin, the real Mandarin in Iron Man. The Mandarin would have been presented in the first film as a legit character, with the fantastical elements of his comic book counterpart toned down, and the Ten Rings was supposed to be a supporting organization. Ultimately, the Ten Rings became this in Shang-Chi. Boring film. And anytime you have Awkwafina, I tap right out. But that was years after the first Iron Man movie hit theaters.
Although they have Ten Rings references in Iron Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The group is called the Ten Rings.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, the terrorist group.
Yeah. And even before they mention, they actually say the name, the guy's always wearing these rings.
Yeah.
And the,
and they decided just to back off of that.
Yeah.
And we're now, like, don't remember that.
And now our fans, the Legion, the Herd, gets to come back and do their favorite subject. A lot of happy responses today on Twitter. Some shocking, but more. It's time for Ask a Gutter at Bango 2331. I can't wait for the recap. Back at it! Exclamation, exclamation. Really interested in Kevin Israel's take on Iron Man, as that's probably my favorite Marvel movie. Question, if you had an Iron Man suit, where would you go with it? And most frequently, where would you go with it most frequently? And would you bother fighting crime or just enjoy the suit?
I would, it would be island destinations every weekend, just a different weekend. Island beach. And no, I would not fight crime, because that sounds far too, because I wouldn't have Tony Stark's money to defend all the lawsuits that would come after me. So it would just be a really, really fancy personal jet.
I gotta think if Leo DiCaprio has these NDAs, he has these ladies sign before they have sex. I don't know why you can without Tony Stark's money. And why every weekend? For Tony Stark and you, every day is Friday. Why go to the weekend?
That's fair. Well, it didn't say I had Tony Stark's money, just the suit.
Oh. All right.
If I get the money, that changes everything.
Yeah. At Newark Knight, Brandon Oglesby, the whole time I listen to this podcast, KI has never slammed Iron Man. Is this a belief he's held for a while, or is it something new now that we are a year into phase 5 of the MCU?
No, this is something I've thought probably almost every rewatch of this movie. It tickled in the back of my head. And then I just recently watched it, because I think I texted. Didn't I text you out of the blue, Kevin? I was like, I got it. Mm-hmm. I was watching it that day and it suddenly struck me. And I was like, you know what? I bet I could put an argument together. So this is something that's been around for a while.
At Taco Shirt. Oh, sorry, Bill. Go ahead.
Much like Marvel Phase 5, the entire franchise has aged as badly as Don Cheadle.
Yeah, seriously.
Now.
Yeah. They should have stuck with Terrence Howard. He still looks good.
Yeah. And, you know, he was a great choice. We'll get into it.
At Taco Shirt Krillin, nice. Welcome back, Kevin Israel. Burger King is a horrible first food to get after being in prison in a desert for 3 months. What would be your go-to?
I'm not going to go very far astray from what Tony's decision was. I would get a Big Mac.
You two are basic bitches.
I love me a Big Mac. Oh. If I just wanted immediate food, just immediate disgusting American food, Big Mac all the Big Mac and fries. McDonald's French fries is for the first 5 minutes of McDonald's French fries, it's some of the best food on earth.
Now you had to put a caveat in that. The best fast food French fries are Five Guys. Without question, Schultz is on my side. McDonald's
with the balsamic vinegar sauce that they have that you pour into it. Oh,
I hear that. That's not my thing. But those fries, the Cajun fries, are so damn good. Roy Rogers curly fries, the Cajun curly fries. Number two,
I love Cajun. Yeah,
yeah. But McDonald's fries are still great, especially when you dump them in the barbecue sauce. That's my go-to.
Speaking of Tony Stark's neck of the woods, I have to, I will admit something here. I've never had In-N-Out fries or burger.
What?
Me neither.
Or sex. What?
Here's the thing. They can't be so good that they justify the lines going around various LA blocks to get fast food. They cannot be that good. Well, I know I'm going to be disappointed.
Let me just tell you, the first thing I do in Vegas when we drop our stuff in the hotel room is we walk our asses to In-N-Out and wait in the line. For a double animal style fries, well done. The In-N-Out fries suck, though. That is no secret. And a milkshake. Those milkshakes are goddamn exquisite. The burgers are fantastic.
Better than Shake Shack?
Yes.
Better than Shake Shack.
Five Guys is better than Shake Shack. In-N-Out is better than Shake Shack.
I disagree. Five Guys isn't better than Shake Shack.
All I get at Five Guys are the fries.
Shame on you. Those burgers are magical. Oh.
Perfect. But I'm always drunk, and I'm like, I know if I have the burger, it's diarrhea for 2 days rather than one. So,
at Joe Loves Kim, what would Robert Downey Jr. be doing now if he hadn't resurrected his career with the MCU?
Oh, great.
Well, I think that we'd be having an in memoriam.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Or we have to be, we'd be forced to sit through Kiss Kiss Bang Bang 2, which I never got that. I never dug that.
I enjoyed it, but Joe and I did a breakdown of it before when the show still existed, and I had seen it recently. It doesn't really hold up as much as I thought it would.
No, I never liked it.
I remember really liking it when it came out.
I think I saw it, and I don't remember it at all.
It's it's original, which I enjoyed. Falcon was great.
It kind of wanted to be like a Pulp Fiction-esque film.
That's what I remember.
And when you try and copy that as hard as it did, you lose me like that. No, thank you. And is that going to close Ask a Gutter? Let's find out. Oh, at Xana, evaluate me. My nudes in profile. Cool. Good to know.
Yeah. That sounds like a real person.
Well, yeah. Let's see him. Let's get ready to evaluate, boys.
Yeah, spam bots. Boy, oh boy.
It's a new kind of gutting.
Let me get my red pen out. Here we go, Xana, on three and action. Before we get to that, no one listens to the end of the podcast. We all know that. So we got stuff to talk about. Kevin Israel, what do you want to tell the world?
You can check out my I have some comedy this summer. It always gets a little sparse in the summer, but I do have some shows. Go to kevinisrael.com. And my album is still out there. The Struggle is Real. So buy that and help me put my kids through college.
Bill Schultz, what are you doing besides asking for rides to the dermatologist clinic?
Well, you never asked me what I would do in my Iron Man suit. Obviously, go to the Sloan Kettering Institute to get my melanoma stage 4 after all these horrible references checked out ASAP. Or the suit just protects me from the sun.
That's
why not just take that Iron Man suit and blow up the Chicago White Sox stadium. Do everybody a favor and yourself.
I'm not against any of this at this point. That's how full of anger I am. You think I'm going to disagree with you?
No, I know you're not.
the other thing is like I'm trying to start a cottage industry minus me being able to afford a cottage. If you're ever in New York and you want to do an old timey historical bar crawl. I'm not right now focusing on the South Street Seaport District. I've only done four of them. They've gotten good reviews. There's an article out now that'll tell you more at Entrepreneur. Give it a read. There's a couple of, I think there's at least two people that were on Gutting the Sacred Cow that are quoted in it. Lauren Savon.
Oh.
And I'm having a brain fart on the other one. There's a lot.
The guy did Field of Dreams. I forgot his name.
Matt Welsh is in it, yes.
Yep.
Then the other thing would be hire me. That would be the other plug, yes.
You're not going to give up Bill and Joanne on YouTube?
Oh, my God, yes, of course.
You asshole.
So, in fact, I was going to email that to you. It's easy to find. Bill and Joe live on YouTube. We just did a show today. It's delightful. Joanne talks about going to the gynecologist. And it's as hot as you thought. Think it would.
Yeah.
When she checked in, did she write the name Jasmine in under her check-in name? God, you set me up for that beautifully. By the way, I text Joanne, RIP Red Lobster on Route 1.
Oh, yes.
She wrote back. She goes, like, I know, pouring out for my homies. I go, now these
let me tell you that about that bitch. I got her a Red Lobster gift certificate like 2 years ago, and she accidentally let loose. She's like, I really got to use that gift certificate before. And I'm like, you still haven't used it?
Before they're all closed.
Yeah.
Listen, you can't go to Red Lobster and not enjoy an African-American family eating after a graduation dinner. You just haven't lived life yet.
No, that was actually me. I just got back from Palm Springs, and part of my skin was coming off. But
notice, I want you all to go to YouTube and check out Corporate America Horseshit, or actually That Corporate USA Guy, where I do weekly vignettes of me satirizing corporate America and all the horseshit that goes on there. Boy, this well will never run dry. And that's at Corporate USA Guy on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and again on YouTube. Well, Bill Schultz, I'm dying to hear this because this super nerd of comic book films is going to try and tackle and piss on Old Glory of the MCU. Bill Schultz, let's get Kevin Israel ready to gut the sacred. Yeah.
Like any good litigator, I want to start out with the ground rules as I see this gutting. I want to make it clear to the herd because I know how crazy they're going to get about this. I am not here to say this is a bad, terrible, shitty movie. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that as a movie, And I'm saying this specifically as a movie, not as the start of the MCU or the rebirth of Robert Downey Jr.'s career. As a movie, it's flawed more than you probably think it is, because you're blinded by all of those other things. The special effects, the excitement of a good superhero movie, the start of the MCU. Take that all away and think about some of the elements and some of the arguments I'm going to make. You might see that this movie is more flawed than you've thought.
I knew it.
That said, it's crazy to think that we've already had 16 years of MCU movies. That's nuts. Iron Man doesn't seem like it was 2008, and maybe it's just because I'm old, but 2008 doesn't seem like it was 16 years ago.
Oh.
But we've been through so many of these movies, and unfortunately, I'm pretty sure if you weighed them out, more not great than great. But the great ones were fantastic, so that's just what we all hang our hats on. There was a lot in this movie to like. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. owned this part. It was like he was made for this part. He's flawless in it. The cast was great. And I know Bill wants to get into this with his discussion, but I loved Terrence Howard in this movie. I like Terrence Howard to begin with, but I think he was great in this movie. He was likable, charismatic. I don't like Don Cheadle as Rhodey at all. Anytime they talk about a War Machine movie, I'm totally uninterested. I don't know. He falls flat on me. So does Anthony Mackie, which is starting to make me feel like I'm racist, but I'm not. I just think the two of them.
Hey,
I don't
like Terrence Howard. So you're not.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I just don't buy the two of those guys as action heroes or as like strong leading men. Regardless, the cast was fantastic. Jeff Bridges was great in the part that he was playing. I think he plays an awesome, you know, greedy. Over, you know, there's the scene where when Tony first comes back and he's there and he's like, look at him, look at what we got. And he's excited to see Tony, but he's sort of making it about himself. Like, he's like, look, I'm welcoming him back. I'm here for you. And he did such a good job of making every scene that he was in feel like, even if it's about you, I'm making it about me. This is about me. Oh, you created the arc reactor to save your heart. Well, let's figure out how that's going to benefit me and my, you know. So he really did a good job. I was never a fan of Gwyneth Paltrow as Pepper Potts. I'm not a Gwyneth Paltrow guy. She's a pretty lady, but she's just kind of vanilla for me. But I think the part itself is super is super vanilla. So it never struck me one way or another. I love the little sprinkled in Agent Coulson shield stuff. I do think I even thought about it the first time I saw this movie opening weekend. Mm-hmm. And I thought about it then when he goes, you know, we're the strategic homeland, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, that's a mouthful. And he's like, we're working on it. Really? What do you have a whole division figure out how to make an acronym? It clearly spells shield. Like, you need it. Like, if you're working on that, you probably don't have a lot of confidence in this bureau of the government. Yeah, I'm probably not going to solving anything too quick. I do love that there's some dated references in the movie, like when he's in the Humvee with the soldiers and they're like, is it true, sir, that you went 12 for 12 with all of Maxim cover models? And at the time it's like, oh, Maxim. And now, like, when I watch this with my kid's gonna be like, what's Maxim? And I'm gonna be like, it's like Playboy, except not naked. Yeah, it's basically what it was. And then I'm going to have to explain to him what Playboy was. And it's going to be a whole thing. But
by the way, that cuts like a knife, Israel, because Maxim was another one of my failed enterprises. But I have to say, I was there during the glory years.
Well, I mean,
when Tony Stark was going through all our models, it was a problem.
And it did have, there were some great glory years for Maxim.
Oh, now we would all get canceled.
I took a look at a Maxim not too long ago and I saw they change editors and layouts. They go, this is going to sound terrible. I may have to cut this. It's a fucking woman editor. Why do you think it's going to happen?
It
was a woman editor in charge of a dude magazine and they tried to make it to GQ. We go, no, we want dick jokes. We want to talk about movies, video games, sports, and naked or semi-naked women in that. That's it.
Yeah.
This recipe is impossible to fuck up. It's a cheeseburger, guys. That's all you need. And that's what they decided not to do.
Women in bikinis that we would then would hope in 2 years would end up in Playboy.
Right.
Their careers went nowhere.
Yes. But you forgot the extra part of that special sauce. also girls that we grew up with when they were kids and we were kids watching them on a sitcom. And now they're in bikinis. Those were always the biggest sellers, from Alyssa Milano to anyone with Party at Five.
Well, you know what's
that was
you know,
the killer. Yeah, yeah.
The interview that always sticks out to me is what's her name? The pretty chef lady. Who had her own show?
I know exactly. Rachel Ray.
Rachel Ray.
Stop. Rachel Ray is not pretty. She looks like a fucking elf, guys.
Well, airbrushing back in the day.
Giada
De Laurentiis. I'm like, now that woman is attractive. I'm with you all the way. Or the Indian cook, too. I forgot her name.
But the point is, Kevin, relax. Put your penis away. The point is that she had a spread and everybody was shocked that she did it. And then years later, that's like she came out and said that was her biggest regret and she hated it the whole time she did it. She was so uncomfortable and it's like, come on, that helped put you on the map.
My favorite story about the Maxim, I'll never forget, because I go, oh my god, they got Melissa Joan Hart, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, to dress like Princess Leia in Return of the Jedi, and I read an interview with her. She goes, yeah, I was hopped up on pills out of my tits that day.
makes you like the spread a little more.
She went to many a party.
Cutie too. Sorry. We all send Maxim and we all just flashback and the smiles on our faces like we're watching Star Wars for the first time.
Well, and by the way, speaking of Party of Five, I was at Stuff for a long time before Maxim, and that's Stuff the same company.
Great. Yeah.
And the same, but we would get the bottom feeders compared to Maxim. So with Party with Five, they would do Jennifer Love Hewitt. We would do Lacey Chabert. That was our cover girl.
So what are you trying to say? That FHM was like the swank of those three?
I was going to say the penthouse to their playboy.
Yeah, it was the hustler. The hustler to those three. If you're below the age of 35, you have no idea what
I'm really talking about. I'm really sorry. Everybody just checked out.
You assume FHM is some sort of X-Men.
Google Maxim cover models and it'll all make sense.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
And fun.
On to my argument. This movie, like any story, breaks into three acts. The first act of this movie is flawless. The introduction of Tony Stark, the establishment of his character, the glimmer that he isn't the horrible person that he seems to be, his interactions, even in the Humvee with the soldier, it's all perfect. He does such a good job. And Kevin is bored to tears of me saying it. I'm a sucker for character development. And they do a magnificent job in the first act establishing who Tony Stark is, why he's flawed, why he needs redemption, and how he's going to get there. And the first act, I would say, goes to them finding him in the desert. So the him building the first suit, the Mark One, just such a great, it had that A-Team feel for if going back to guys our age, that, you know, him building something from nothing, even though I find it hard to believe those moron terrorists would keep looking at the camera going, I'm sure he's building a missile. It looks just like a missile that he's building. So No, it's fine. Yeah. Oh no, they're playing Parcheesi or whatever game that is. They can do that. They have time for board games. Sure. Go ahead. We're a patient terrorist group who wants missiles of mass destruction.
But it takes a long time to collect 10 rings. They're very patient.
the one of the things that always drove me crazy in the first act, though, was when he gets into the suit and they start to power it up and there's like the trope of the bar slowly filling. Why didn't they do that earlier? Like, why did that could have been done before they started doing all this shit and he got into the suit? There was no need. He needed to be in the suit to get that power bar all the way up. He could have done that, put the suit on and been ready to go, and then his friend wouldn't have had to die. But they had to do that just for the excitement of watching a bar, you know, a 2008
status bar
just slowly fill as you're going, come on.
That's such a good point, because I made the same exact point when we all did the live event of Office Space, when What's-His-Face Jerkoff is trying to cut out of work before he gets nailed for Saturday duty. He waits till 4:55 to save his fucking hard drive. And then, of course, he gets nailed. He could have done this at 12:30 and then rolled out.
It's a rookie move. Rookie move.
Oh, my God, yeah. Continue, please.
So, yeah, first act, flawless. He gets back. And then the second act, so the first act is sort of him becoming Iron Man, and the second act is him figuring out who Iron Man actually is. And second act, flawless too. Him building the suit, him learning how to use the suit, the comedy, the strangely aware robots that he works with are funny and cute. And the crime is he flies over some $1 million cars and none of them get their paint scratched, which drove me crazy.
Yes.
He's like, he has jets shooting out of his feet, but the paint on the cars is fine. Like, that's not how fire or paint works. But all of that whole, and then him going to save, to becoming a hero, him going to save the village, such a great superhero moment. Like, that's probably one of the greatest moments in the movie, and maybe one of the greatest moments in any MCU movie as far as a superhero being a superhero, doing what superheroes do. And it's when he pulls him through the wall, throws him down and goes, he's all yours, and then he flies up. Fucking, I could watch that scene every day till I die.
1,000%.
Flawless.
Solid.
Flawless. 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 And the whole thing, the suit, the friggin' Iron Man suit is amazing, which, by the way, I did some research because I'm no rookie and I do my work. And the reason they ended up going with Iron Man, because as Kevin said in the fun fact, they didn't have the right to Spider-Man or the X-Men. And so they went to their toy division and they said, who do the kids most want to play with? And it was Iron Man, like, hands down. So they said, all right, make an Iron Man movie.
Interesting.
And that's how.
Wow. That is very interesting. Wow. Yep.
So it was merch, like everything else in a capitalist society, which Tony Stark should appreciate.
Yeah, okay. Seriously.
So first and second act, flawless, perfect movie. Let me be clear. If it ended after the second act, the movie would have been hands down perfect. The third act is an uninteresting mess because Obadiah is the least interesting villain imaginable. And not only is he uninteresting, he's improbable and inexplicable. He goes from being a greedy, self-interested corporate slug of a guy to a psychotic murderer willing to kill Tony Stark in public in a super suit without any explanation of how he got there. You already had a perfect villain in the leader of the Ten Rings. That guy, he looked the part. He had the motivation to be the main villain. Obadiah could have been in the background kind of manipulating things, and he could have been the main villain. And then in Iron Man 2, yeah. Obadiah could have become the main villain and it would have made sense. But in this, you saw, like, there were some inklings where you saw the newsreel of how Tony Stark suddenly came back and took over CEO. And you see Obadiah in that magazine picture standing like this. And you get the idea that he was probably pretty pissed off that Tony took over and he's, you know, now he's got to be a babysitter. But
I love that you said that, because talk about spoon feeding. When you look at all those magazine things, yep. It's like Obadiah in the front. And then the next picture is him in the background. Be like,
yep.
Eh. Yeah. Exactly. with a pouty bitch look on his face.
Yeah.
Hello,
it's my company.
Yeah, foreshadowing.
Yeah, but there's just no reason for us to care about him as a villain, and he didn't feel like a villain. And then even when he goes in to talk to Pepper Potts, and she's like getting the stuff off the computer, and he suddenly becomes threatening. It's like, would he do? Like, he's gonna risk his job as COO or whatever the hell he was in Stark Enterprises over, like, it's crazy. Like, where did this come from? And it comes out of nowhere. And I promise you, I've watched this movie dozens of times. Every time it's on cable, I'll watch it until the third act. And I can't tell you how infrequently I've watched that. Even that last battle is sort of uninteresting because, again, it comes out of nowhere. He builds this suit where you get no idea of, like, its power or its reasoning or what it is. It's just bigger and badder ass and fights Iron Man. And Iron Man is obviously powered down because he has the weaker arc reactor, and, you know, at no point in that movie, even the first time I saw it, did I think, oh man, he could lose, or oh man, there's stakes here. You knew he was going to win, and you didn't care about the villain because there was they didn't build up to it. They didn't build the villainy of Obadiah. And that is what ruins the movie as a movie, as a vehicle of starting a franchise, as a vehicle of introducing Iron Man and Tony Stark and creating the excitement around superhero movies, especially considering what we got up to that point. This movie's great. This movie does a great job at all that. But as a standalone storytelling, character development, work of art, it's flawed significantly in its villain and in its third act, because it just suddenly says, well, we got Iron Man now. He's got the suit. We need a bad guy. He's the bad guy. Go be bad. And he goes and be's bad. And it's like, why is he's killing? He's going to kill Tony Stark in front of every in the world, the whole world. Because even if he won and threw him down the arc reactor, or whatever it was, and murdered Tony Stark, Obadiah is going to prison for life. Like, he's not getting out of this, and he's not secreting out of it, because everybody saw him. All the people on the highway saw him. Agent Coulson of the Strategic saw him. Like, everybody saw it happen, and he's supposed to be like a brilliant businessman, and you don't get, and he goes from that, and even if you want to say, well, he reached his breaking point and he snapped, okay, show me that snap, show me that break where you can explain to me why he's the villain of this movie and why he's going to be the final threat after Tony Stark beat a whole terrorist organization. Like, he beat, and by the way, they're the Ten Rings. So if you know superhero lore, if you follow the comic books, that's a serious group. So he goes from that to fucking doughy Jeff Bridges bald in a knockoff Iron Man suit, which by the way, they explained that we can't build as good a one as he did because we're not him. So you know it's not as good as the Iron Man suit. So even if he went and stole Iron Man's, the second suit that he built, that would have been.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
It just doesn't build up to that third act making sense, having consequences, or caring about the villain. If you look at all the other movies where the villains or the conflicts, you cared about them, like even Captain America First Avenger, which is one of my favorite introduction movies, you got the villain. The villain made sense. The villain was scary, and he had a motivation, and you understood it. Now, sure, the Nazis are easy to make hateable, but at least it made sense. It made sense in the terms of the movie, and it made sense into why he was doing all this stuff. You go through all of the best movies. Civil War, they're fighting against each other. Winter Soldier, it's the government against them. Like, you got all of these and Thanos, who was probably the greatest villain, especially superhero villain ever written, he was developed. And this movie, which was the first movie and the movie that people laud as one of the best superhero movies ever, has a weak paper thin villain who doesn't have any development and no care about it. So if you want to say that this is the great movie that everybody thinks, you're missing the point that he doesn't have the conflict that you want. It should have been the leader of the Ten Rings, whose name I'm blanking on. It should have been that guy who he scarred. He had the scar in the face. But then Obadiah comes over and like shoots that thing in his ear and paralyzes him. And that's all we see of that guy. Like, that's all it took to get rid of the giant threat. And it would have been better if he went in and talked to that guy, gave him the suit, gave him something to like turn him into the supervillain. And then he went out to kill Tony Stark. And that was the main battle. Cause at least you were like, oh, they had conflict through the movie. I get it. Obadiah and Tony Stark did not have conflict through the movie that you saw. Sure, it was hinted at, but why were you just hinting at it if he's the villain that he's going to fight at the end and then kill, by the way? He didn't even live. He beat him and killed him. So you never got to get anything further from him.
Yeah.
So yeah. In closing, Act one and two were as flawless as you can get with a superhero movie. But because of the weakness and almost complete lack of a plausible, threatening villain with a story that makes sense, this movie is flawed. And I would say it's flawed by, I would probably bring down, you know, if I was going to say, oh, Iron Man, Iron Man's an 8 or a 9. I'd bring it down probably 2.5 points just because the third act and the villain is so bad in a superhero movie, where superhero movies are totally about their conflict, their villain, and how the conflict gets resolved. And so for me, that's why this movie will never be the great movie that everybody talks about, because I'll never watch the third act because the villain sucks. I rest my case.
1 to 10.
6.5.
Huh.
Bill Schultz, step up to the plate and see if you can make contact, unlike the Chicago White Sox.
This is all right. You know what? I would prefer this route rather than me dying next week from melanoma. If it's just going to be White Sox for the rest of the time, it's a little less morbid, but only slightly, because the White
Sox.
We
don't think you're
going to
die next week.
Yeah.
God. Death by 1,000 cuts or death by 1,000 SPF. You tell me.
Wow. I got to say, you know, you're a good lawyer, because I didn't think there was anything you would convince me of as far as how much I love this movie, but not too shabby, sir. I would just say, just briefly, like I loved, obviously you already said it, I'm not going to elaborate on how great and perfect the casting of Robert Downey Jr. is. I believe they couldn't even get insurance for him at the time. I don't know how Favreau got around that hurdle, but it was worth it. And of course, as you said, we would be an in memoriam for him if he had not gotten that part. Some criticisms with regards to Paltrow, who is the weak link in the movie, I think we can all agree. She suffers under something that we learned from the Sony Marvel Ventures, which would be Kirsten Dunst, which is, first of all, terrible casting. But also, when you so associate someone as being a blonde, I don't care what kind of red wig you get. That red wig is just going to be firebush bad.
They did that with Emma Stone and the other Spider-Man films too. Let's keep her in the mix.
Yeah, but she was blonde.
She was redhead in that.
I think Emma Stone was blonde, was she not? Because she was the different character. She wasn't Kirsten Dunst's character.
Yes, she was. She was Mary. She was damn it, Kevin. What's her other name? Not Mary Jane. Gwen Stacy.
Gwen Stacy was blonde.
But she was a redhead in that.
No, she was. No, you're associating with redhead,
right,
because of,
okay,
Superman.
I could be wrong. I've only seen the Amazing Spider-Man once or twice.
That was like Gwyneth Paltrow in that fucking weird ass red hair getup and her shitty acting, that took me out of it. I did, again, as I already touched on, I love the bookends, stuff that you see from the first that carries on and is referenced beautifully in Endgame. We keep a lot of the stuff that stays, I hate the word canon, parents die in an automobile accident. If you guys do notice, even though it's brief flashbacks, that would be dad number 3 played. I forget Tony Stark's dad's name. And like, we never get him again.
Howard.
But they all have the Howard Hughes mustache, but that's about it. Different dad. But other than that, they hold on to that. Paul Bettany is Jarvis from beginning to end until he becomes Vision. Love that. I love that Stan Lee in his first cameo gets mistaken as Hugh Hefner. Little things like that is fucking great. The roadie next time, obviously, as we've discussed, I thought was great. All stuff I'd forgotten until I just watched it again. Here's what I agree with you on. I can't argue with anything you said about the development of the villain. And also, I have a question for you after I get through this. The thing with Jeff Bridges, you were right on all counts. Jeff Bridges was still a good hire because Jeff Bridges eats up a fucking screen. Whatever Jeff Bridges sure is does. Doing, even if he's just rolling his eyes at Tony, you're looking at Jeff Bridges, which is no small feat when you're sharing a screen with one Robert Downey Jr. He just does that. I will also say, and I've said this a million times before, there are celebrities, there are stars, and there are actors. Is Jeff Bridges a good actor? Because what I saw
yes. Go watch Arlington Road is amazing.
What I saw
I hate the Big Lebowski. We know that.
I love the Big Lebowski. Here's what I saw. I saw the dude with less hair as a billionaire. There is a lot of dude qualities in his character.
True Grit, another one.
As there is when he's playing a president in The Contender, as there is when he's doing anything. Some of his best acting might have been when he was like his most smarmy Jeff Bridges in The Fabulous Baker Boys. But Jeff Bridges plays Jeff Bridges a lot. But it doesn't matter because he eats up the screen. And I think that they made the mistake of doing, for people that perhaps didn't pay attention to the comics, they did wanted to make sort of an M. Night Shyamalan twist where, wait, Jeff Bridges is the bad guy? When to Israel's point, you see it coming a mile away. But I think that Favreau really did think that a lot of the audience is going to be surprised. Like, but he's Tony's second father. Now, everyone saw this coming. The sixth sense, it was not. And also, I think that this starts my favorite thing in the entire Marvel universe, which is that Jon Favreau is the Kelly Clarkson and Oprah of Marvel, in the sense that his weight goes up and down such an alarming extent.
God damn.
There are times in Spider-Man movies where he almost needs a walker for how fat he is. And then the next movie, he's got a personal trainer and he's okay. It's very jarring. And it doesn't help with the back and forth. I love there are the little things that they put so much time in, namely his Malibu home, which apparently, and this is a little bit of a, the interiors are an actual home in La Jolla, which is near San Diego.
La Jolla, you swine. It's La Jolla.
La Jolla, same. I'm such an East Coaster. I prefer to call it La Jolla because I see phonetics. But they decided that it would be completely soulless aside from where he worked, because that's the only place that Tony Stark would feel at home. Now, those are little things you don't necessarily notice in the movie, but great. When the overall of Iron Man, when they're just building this aesthetic, I mean, the way Tony Stark dressed like Geraldo Rivera with his tinted glasses mixed with a glam 80 band guy, like that is established from the beginning. So much of this is established from the beginning and they do such a great job. Things that took me out of it, they finally started to nail his weird futuristic facial hair towards the later movies. But if you watch it, I just watched it about 4 or 5 days ago. He's got his Just for Men is so bad that you see paint on his lip above his super thin Cap Calloway mustache connected to his spider web down here. It's very strange. And it doesn't, the continuity is weird because the beard just, and not even when he's like in prison, you know, with the 10 rings, the beard just got a mind of its own. It might have been new CGI. One thing that I think is that you sort of touched on, but that would not fly now, is the pacing. Now that our attention span is even worse than it was in 2008, we do not see the Iron Man costume, whatever you want to call it, as we know it now, forget about the beginning, until an hour and 20 minutes into the movie. It is a testament to the actors involved, save Gwyneth Paltrow and her shitty hair, that we don't really care. But
I don't mind that. I don't mind that because, you know, listen, you got to set the stage. And Israel nailed that. He did it perfectly when they set the stage.
I don't think it would fly now. And I think that if a younger generation were to watch it now and they don't care about anything that didn't happen before 2012. But if they were to watch it now, they'd be looking at their watches. And I that's not necessarily a slight on the movie. But guys, it's a commentary is where we are right now in a society. And the other thing that I have a problem with, so this movie, which makes you miss it, we get into aliens, we get into Nordic gods that are aliens, we get into different multiverses real quick in this franchise. This was so, as best it could be, based in reality, and I loved it. And it very quickly veers way outside of that. And then, therefore, we are allowed, when things are so unrealistic, not from a tech standpoint, but from just a plot standpoint where you're just sort of like, what? Going back to Obadiah going bad shit and we don't get the motivation. When I'm sorry, bat poop.
we're more than half hour now. Yeah.
When he murders Tony the first time in his home by taking out his heart, because apparently, and they do not explain this to the audience very well, the mechanical heart that keeps him alive is apparently the key to Obadiah's version of Iron Man.
Yes.
They do not explain that at all. Now, I'm sure it's explained in the comics. I don't know it that well enough to know what that meant. And I had to rewind it a couple times. I'm like, I'm missing something. They do not explain that at all. But the other thing is, this is truckin' Tony Stark's home. I would think there'd be some cameras there. In fact, I would think there'd be a camera in every corner of the room. And not only does Obadiah do the classic villain thing where he explains everything to Tony as he's slowly killing him and taking the thing out, he just leaves. Yep. I'm thinking that would be recorded.
Yeah, where's Jarvis? Like, oh, we have an intruder, you know,
or and happy.
By the way, Jarvis sucks. You think Jarvis would have seen something?
Yeah.
So that took me out a little bit about of it. Like one quote I forgot when we were talking about the Maxim stuff is that technicality, Tony didn't have sex with every single one, but because there was a scheduling conflict with one of them.
March.
But but it still counts because in 1 month there were twins.
December.
Yeah, so he had sex with the twins. So you can still do it. And also, going back to the Terrence Howard thing, I didn't know that Terrence Howard fought for Robert Downey Jr. Is that the case?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I had always heard that Terrence Howard had asked for such an huge amount, an obscene amount.
That's what I heard too, initially.
On the second one, that's why he was dismissed. I think he asked for more than Robert Downey Jr. I've also heard that he's kind of a rhymes with trick as far as working with is concerned. He was such a better roadie. And my best example of that would be, and it's a very small scene, but it's great, is you got Terrence Howard's character, and it's clear that he and Tony are great friends. But he's always like, this guy doesn't play by the rules, and I gotta babysit him. And you got the first scene where he's mad at Tony for not showing up at some sort of a weapons thing that he was supposed to show up for. And he's giving him the business. And you got all these hot stewardesses in his private plane. And then he's just like, no, I'm not even talking to you. And Tony's like, yeah, but you know, and he's got the stripper pole on the thing and he's pouring a glass of champagne. He's like, no, I'm not drinking. And then the next scene, Terrence Howard is drunk off his ass. He's like, here's what people don't get about my job. And there's all the flight attendants are stripping around the pole. I'm like, the pacing, the humor of that. I just thought, I'd never seen a superhero movie like that before. I never saw one that smart, frankly. Finally, I would just say that Tony Stark, at least in this movie, is more Bruce Wayne than Bruce Wayne ever was. Bruce Wayne actually was supposed to enjoy being a playboy.
Yes.
It was, of course, an undercover thing. We've never seen a Batman movie where he enjoys it, if he even tries to do it.
Tony Stark had a hot minute. He had a hot minute. And God damn, was it Begins where he had all the playmates and he...
Yes. Oh, totally. But it's very clear that he's like, I have to do this. Yeah. I have to sleep with these women. And it's terrible. And Tony Stark loves his life. And I love that. And I'm sorry. That's it. But well,
1 to 10. Yeah. 1 to 10.
I wasn't an 8. I will give I'll give Israel credit. I'm going to go down to a 7.5 now.
Whoa.
He made some good points.
Whoa!
And I love this movie, but the third act, you had some good points.
These notes brought to you by, the hell with it. We're going to go right to corporate horseshit or corporate USA guy on YouTube. Listen to that. And of course, Gutting the Sacred Cow on all your podcast platforms, GTSC Podcast. Notes. God, you guys just picked this clean. A Maxim and a MySpace reference early on, indicative of a much more fun and simpler time.
Yes.
Did Ryan Reynolds watch Iron Man and say, that is exactly what I'm going to do with Deadpool? Or did Downey watch Van Wilder and say, yep? or did Elon Musk watch Iron Man and say, I'm going to do all that while being on the spectrum? Thank you. Sorry, nice layered joke.
watching Terrence Howard as Rhodey is like watching the first few seasons of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and seeing the first Aunt Viv. You don't know which version you like better, but it's certainly weird. Good to see Jon Favreau's 70 pounds lighter. If he's not on Ozempic now, he better be. Otherwise, he'll be depriving the world of a much needed sequel to the movie Chef. Which is on cable nonstop now. I like how that reporter literally attacked him in bed. Listen, I pride myself as a passion-invoking yet selfless lover, but I have never had a woman attack me like a methed-out feral Wolverine. So dare I say, that doesn't happen. Excellent song choice by Downey by playing Suicidal Tendencies Institutionalized when he's putting that together. God, saw it in the theater and I started singing the words right then and there. And now it's time to answer a question that has been plaguing society for years. Is Gwyneth Paltrow hot? I put her in hot purgatory. She's attractive, yes, but I cannot figure out if she's attractive or hot. You may commence with your arguments.
She's too white for me.
Mm-hmm. Schultz?
She is a good actress because on some roles, she's really hot. And overall, she's not as a person. But like there's been I like my Shakespeare in love and she's smoking in that. There's other couple movies. There's other movies that are bad that she's really hot in. And like one of them was like with Joaquin Phoenix. It was terrible. But she's fucking trucking, smoking. I'm sorry.
My test is when you see her, you're not like, God damn, she doesn't invoke.
Yeah. Oh, no, at all. But there's movies where you do.
I haven't seen.
There's this in the first Avengers. I think she's upstairs with Tony when they come to tell him that they're going to need him for whatever. And she's in like jean cutoffs and a white like button down. And it's supposed to be like her hot casual, like, know what they were going for, and it didn't, like, any other hot woman wearing that would have been like, oh, that looks so good. But on her, it almost felt like my sister wearing it.
I was just
like, what are you doing? Clothes on.
Some clothes on, you whore. There is no doubt that films have ruined private flights for me, as I will expect the first time that either if I am lucky or rich enough to get on a private jet, all the flight attendants will be gyrating around a pole and will eventually end in an orgy. So yes, I have figured out one of my first three purchases if I do in fact win the lottery. Because of the success of Iron Man, there's not a day that goes by without Jon Favreau showing up at Robert Downey's house and then fucking Downey's wife in front of him while maintaining eye contact with Downey.
All of this is because of me.
With Favreau finishing all over her, smiling at Robert Downey and saying, "You're welcome." I swear the bald terrorist is either the bad guy from True Lies or the mummy with Brendan Fraser. I didn't Google this, so we're gonna let this hang in the air.
What else?
I love how Tony's assistant in the caves, I forgot his name, chases and fires at the three terrorists, quite reminiscent of Han Solo chasing three stormtroopers on the Death Star. Funny in how neither of those films, both bad guys groups could have just turned and cooked this fool. And instead they run into a much larger room and then they open fire. That three against one, guys. Are we going to be scared by one madman chasing at you? No. The building of the suit and Stark's escape was done insanely well. I completely agree with you, Kevin Israel. First off, next point, I don't ever set foot in a country that hates America. Secondly, if I'm ever taken hostage, I shan't be constructing a suit of iron. I shall, at best, boil water and throw it in terrorist faces. The only thing I would be able to electrically engineer are dick jokes and my own electrocution. Okay, that's all that I'm capable to do.
I can't even boil water.
3 months.
You can boil yourself.
You sure? Zing.
I'm out of here.
Next up on the Tonight Show, Queen Latifah. 3 months in captivity and he stops at goddamn Burger King. For Christ's sakes, Tony, you can afford In-N-Out or Five Guys. I said before and I'll say it again. Jeff Bridges is an underrated national treasure in Arlington Road. Watch it. He's a much better villain in that than this. You haven't seen it? Get 2 hours of your time and stop laying out in the sun and watch us instead. Or watch it while laying out in the sun and really kill two birds with one stone. It would have been great when Tony Stark leans in to kiss Pepper. He whispers in her ear, "Don't give your kid a stupid name like Apple. We no one cares how much money you have. Kids will still bully someone named after fruit."
Your candles don't smell like your vagina.
He did pseudo base his character off Elon Musk. Elon Musk does not have better kid names.
No.
You might say he has worse kid names.
No, one was like X23. Like, yeah.
That kid's lucky he's rich because he's just avoiding a lot of bullying right there. Pay him off.
Kevin Israel, here we go. My main problem with this film, villain choice. I don't know the Iron Lore as much as Kevin Israel, but I do know Mandarin was the main rival. If the fate of the MCU depended on one film, why would you not play the biggest ace in the hole you have? Obadiah Stane wasn't special. He was forgettable. This heel turn he made was so unwarranted, and I was so unimpressed going, really? You said it perfectly. The terrorists were perfect. They could even have the main guy crawl away when Tony Hawk blew up the tank and all that shit. He could have stolen the suit himself and partnered up with Obadiah, beat him up, killed him, whatever, and then him getting the suit, and I would have been like, yep, I'm all on board for that. But nope. We have seen the someone has left their computer screen on and showing that they were just hacked trope way too many goddamn times. And we saw this happen. I go, well, here we go. Boring and predictable. I would like to get my hands in that paralysis machine for people who chew with their mouth open, talk in movie theaters, or have full conversations on speakerphone while in a cramped public setting.
Have
you ever been to an automobile dealership and getting your car fixed and some asshole screeching away, sucking down free coffee while on speakerphone? I was the other day. That's why I wrote this down. And I bet Terrence Howard wishes he can go back in time and paralyze himself for asking for too much money and getting kicked out of a goddamn bountiful franchise. Ugh. When Obadiah uses that paralysis machine on Tony, we haven't seen Downey that shade of white since he was nodding off from heroin in strangers' bathrooms. I wish when Obadiah Stane took out Tony Stark's heart, he would have said, Kalima Shakti De Kalima. Bum Shibai, Bum Shibai. My sister asked me, can I have my 10-year-old nephew watch Temple of Doom? She goes, oh, wait, he pulls a still beating heart out of his chest. You go, I saw it when I was 10. Just fast forward. It was a fun way for them to end the film with Stark saying, and I'm Iron Man. Favreau should have ended filming by getting himself a gastric band.
Whatever he is on, I was saying back now.
The first half, two-thirds of this film cruises at the speed of the old Concorde. But wowzer, does it get clunky like a Boeing 737 landing gear trying to pull out. That final battle was just... And that leaves a smudge in the film. You cannot ever have a superhero battle end in just... You hit on the head. You knew there was never any danger. You knew once he was going up high, go, oh, wait, he did this and his shit froze up. Okay, here we go. And then this film is certainly enjoyable and rewatchable. I enjoyed the living shit out of it for the first two acts. Is this in my Marvel top five? Let's go through my top five. Endgame, Infinity War, Winter Soldier, Ragnarok, Spider-Man, Far From Home. Nope. But it is in my top 10 along with Doctor Strange. I don't give a shit what you say. Days of X-Men, Days of Future Past, Civil War, and Spider-Man Homecoming. Robert Downey Jr. was made for this role like Arnold was made for the for the Terminator films. I could never, ever attempt to see anybody trying to attempt that role as Tony Stark except him.
Oh, yeah.
And I wrote down right here, 7 out of 10 because of that last act. So we are all damn near simpatico.
Simpatico, guys. Real quick question. A real quick question. I think Israel already answered it. So maybe then for Israel's sake, someone besides Thanos, your guy's favorite Marvel
Joker.
Villain.
Oh, Marvel villain? Oh, that changes everything. But the favorite comic book villain is the Joker, without question.
Oh, yeah. That's why I said Marvel villain.
Okay. I would have to say...
It's hard. But also, there weren't that many good ones. There's a lot of ones that are like...
I'm going to cheat. I'm going to give two more. I'm going to say Magneto and Doc Ock.
I didn't even think about that. Doc Ock's pretty good.
But Magneto, like Magneto is right there too. I'd say even better.
I like him to be pure evil, and Doc Ock is not that at all.
Nor is Magneto, but I like the dichotomy. Yeah.
So, all right.
Was this movie villains or comic book villains?
Marvel movie villains, I should say, yes.
Why? Did you say other than Thanos?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think you said that Thanos you thought was perfect.
Yeah, I agree with Kev that Magneto probably. I don't know that he's ever been done I mean, X-Men 97 obviously did it perfectly, but I don't know that they've ever achieved that in the proper movies, because he's almost a Thanos character where he's got this really noble end and he's so obsessed with it that he doesn't care how he's going to get it. And he only sees, he sees very myopically. But I think both of them, Ian McKellen and Fassbender, did pretty good jobs. But I still think,
should they have cast it that old? Should they have cast it that old? I mean,
I don't think they didn't have
102 at this point.
Yeah, they had no idea how long these guys were going to have to be playing these characters. They were just happy to make the one and get out.
X-Men, Blade, we all said before, is the real first true after Batman superhero film. But yeah. X-Men was really the one that everyone said, okay, this is going to be all based on this one film. And I mean, we all loved it when it came out. Then we watched it again, and boy, there are way more warts. And we did it on this very podcast, so we're not going to go down that road again. Critics, 5-star reviews. Everything is owed to Iron Man, a film that launched a moment and set a standard that hasn't always been reached. If you don't like Iron Man, then you should stop going to the movies. Burn. Iron Man might feature a mesmerizing performance by Downey Jr. and kicked off the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but that doesn't entirely save it from a weak villain or falling apart by the third act.
Wow.
Kevin Israel.
Does this film, we talked about it a few months ago, Kevin Israel, does this film fall off as hard as Goodfellas falls off after that, after Pesci dies, kind of thing with this?
Oh.
I don't know if it's as hard as it, because I mean, I really never ever watch that last part of Goodfellas.
Yeah.
It's probably pretty close.
Yeah.
It's definitely pretty close.
The movie that proved it's possible to make good superhero movies, ushering the MCU and teaching DC absolutely nothing.
Yeah. And also a plan. They had a plan. It's not that hard to have a plan. Jesus.
Critics, 1-star reviews. I like Downey Jr., usually with his dark, wounded eyes, but his performances veers between going through the motions and a look which seems to say, hey, what film am I doing again? This person has completely missed the point. No one should take them seriously, just like someone who has a Spirit Airlines credit card. Iron Man is a dispiriting attempt. I have a friend who has a Frontier Airlines, and my jaw dropped like Roger Rabbit's, and I had to pick it up with my hands 5 minutes after the fact. Frontier Airlines, and he has money. He's not.
I didn't even know they still existed.
Yeah. Iron Man is a dispiriting attempt to apply superficial principles to inherently silly kid culture. Here's someone that loathes fun and tightly crosses his legs while sitting on a subway. Sporting a novel brand of swinger superhero, Iron Man's got goofy Downey Jr. wisecracking his way through unlikely feats in fantasy politics with all the determination of someone who just wandered in from the corner bar. Light on CGI and moral quandaries, it possesses neither the zip and sparkle of a Spider-Man nor the brooding existential subtext of Batman Begins.
Well, because it's neither of those movies.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. You know how
these are the only two you can have.
Yeah. Wrong and wrong. Amazon 5-star reviews. Remember when superhero movies were under 3 hours? Didn't have to set up a $50 billion spinoff movies? Pepperidge Farm remembers. I needed it to complete. That is a good throwback. I needed it to complete the set of three. Signed, Lisa Vanderpump. Robert Downey Jr., you are the perfect man for the role of Iron Man. Excited to finally have my hands on a digital copy of this. I think it is going to be me and Robert Downey Jr. tonight for date night since my husband is off doing his soldier thing. I love Tony Stark's biting humor, his self-inflated ego, and in the end, his understated vulnerability as a human. In reality, he's the jerk that you can't help but love. I'm not big on action movies or the comic book world, but Iron Man definitely pulled me in. I think there was more bean flicking that night than a fourth grader flicking a paper football. Oh, and congratulations on your husband doing his soldier thing. We thank you. And hopefully he's calling in more drone attacks on Boston Red Sox fans' tailgates.
Well, I worry about her husband. It sounds like Iron Man's doing some stolen valor here. She's cheating real soon.
I think it's a really interesting tactic to go into the reviews of a movie to say, hey, fellas, I'm free and looking to bang.
Yeah.
Hubby's away and I'm ready to play.
My address is
exactly what it was.
And if you bring Iron Man 2 and 3 over, you can guarantee on anal. I have been a comic book fan, but never an Iron Man fan. Basically, I like the Mr. Miracle, Spider-Man type of superhero. But this movie is very well made. I am not a Robert Connick Jr. fan, but this has to be his best performance ever. He brings a sense of humor to a character that I did not think had a sense of humor. Unlike other films of this gender, the producers tried to make this believe like the Japanese summary movies. Signed, Harry Downey Jr.
Truly, how do you confuse Harry Connick Jr. with Robert Downey Jr.? Those are two that I would not put in the same word problem that she had.
They do look quasi-similar.
Do they?
A little bit. Amazon one-star reviews. Here we go. However, in the first 15 or 20 minutes of this film, Robert Downey Jr. brags about having sex with a group of women, including twins, ! While male soldiers smirk and congratulate him. Comes on to a female soldier who responds by smiling and giggling at his boyish charm. It continues when, not kidding, a group of scantily clad flight attendants gyrate around a stripper's pole mid-flight for the entertainment of their male passengers. And then an Ivy League educated female reporter is so hot for him that even her initial skepticism and disdain for him cannot keep her from immediately ripping off her clothes and jumping into bed with him. While I get there trying to set up the hero as flawed so we can root for his metamorphosis into something heroic, the real problem is that these women are all seemingly charmed by this asshole's behavior, at best scolding him like an erring paperboy, (Pepper), while secretly charmed by it, or at worst, totally enamored with his bullshit. Point being, not one of them is really offended. If you ever see this person eating ice cream in public, I say feel free to smash it in their face or knock it out of their hands.
All I heard from that was, ah, the good old days.
Yeah. Next one. Horrifically racist with awful stereotypes in it of everyone. Women, men, Arabs, Americans, whoever.
Oh, God.
It was like a throwback. It was like a throwback to the 70s with a kind of twisted contemporary take on war. I watched about half of it and could watch no more. It wasn't about ending wars. It was about good old American ingenuity making war more palatable. Yuck. Hey, you know what I didn't miss during this 3-month hiatus of Gutting the Sacred Cow? Blowhard assholes easily getting offended over stuff that doesn't happen. Robert Downey Jr.'s worst role. Well, apparently someone has not seen Shaggy Dog, U.S. Marshals, or Doolittle. But I bet Kevin Israel has seen all three of those.
I have, yes.
I will say? U.S. Marshals sucks. It's horrible.
It's terrible.
Robert Downey Jr. Is great in it. I think he was really good at it.
That's one of those sequels you're just saying, no, you can't have a mega hit and no Harrison
Ford. He's watchable in it. He's usually, I haven't seen the Shaggy Dog. But
I haven't either. Next one. I thought it was about weightlifting. Zing.
Oh, boy. Yeah. We don't need to read all these.
These two are blowhard ones. You're going to love this. Afghanistan is currently an extremely troubled country, even though it has a very rich cultural tradition. It's a shame it was dumbed down to Iron Man to help with civilians, brutal warlords, and an impotent and clueless U.S. military, and one white man who had a very unconvincing conversion experience. If Hollywood is going to bring politics and current events into a comic book story, then they need to act more like mature adults instead of soulless money grubbers trying to make a quick buck off the horrific suffering of some people in the distant land. Afghanistan is not some make-believe place. It's a place where real people, including brave Americans and many others from around the world, are risking their lives every day. Signed, John Rambo. Last one. I hope Hollywood stops treating the moviegoers of the world like a bunch of idiots. And while I'm at it, it would be nice if some of the millions of dollars Hollywood is going to make from Iron Man is donated to various third-party nonprofit organizations working on reconstructing Afghanistan's civilian infrastructure. They could certainly use the money. I hope this idealist is signing 10% of their take-home pay and sending it to Afghanistan's civilian infrastructure because, you know, you don't want to come off as a hypocrite.
I'm sure they are. I can't imagine why they wouldn't. Yeah.
And now let's ask ChatGPT to tell us some jokes about the movie Iron Man. What's Iron Man's favorite type of music? Heavy metal.
Thanks, ChatGPT.
Why doesn't Iron Man like jokes? He's afraid they'll startle him.
Oh, goodness. Is that even wordplay?
What did Iron Man say to his suit? You complete me.
No.
AI is never taking the role over comics, that's for sure, gentlemen.
AI is a work in progress.
Kevin Israel. Sorry, I always ask that of you. Bill Schultz and Kevin Israel got the sacred cow.
I got to tell you, I did not think he would. Because, again, watching it recently, I'm like, this trucking holds up. But, the man knows what he's doing. He did.
I still like it,
but I see his point. Yeah.
This is exactly how I knew he was going to come. He was going to play the overrated card. I know he loves this too much. I know he loves Iron Man.
I know. By the way, do I give him that? Because, yeah, he wanted his cake and ate it too. Yeah. He did a little bit. Yeah. He had the cake was the first two acts, and then eating it too was the third act. Yeah. But I'll still give it to him.
All right. I agree. The cow was gut. It's a little overrated. People, because when you text me, I go, no way.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching it, the friggin' first two thirds, I'm like, no. And they go, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I forgot about this.
I don't even know where honestly, Kev, I thought you were just being a contrarian. I'm like, this is wonderful. And then I did. And then the third act, I'm like, okay. All right.
Noted. Kevin Goatee, Bill Schultz, Kevin Israel, we're back. And listen, hope you enjoyed it. We'll be doing these sporadically. So dig in, tell a friend, and that's that. Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.